This week's episode of the Championship Chat podcast is brought to you in association with the EFL's official sponsor, Jameson's, who have teamed up with Classic Football Shirts to release a new lineup of limited edition bottles with five iconic EFL away kits. The exclusive bottles designed by Classic Football Shirts include away strips from Leicester City, Sunderland, Portsmouth, Charlton Athletic and Tranmere Rovers. So you can now enjoy your favourite pre-match drink and reminisce about the glory days, past and present, with your favourite kit at the centre. You can now order your collection of these limited edition and exclusive EFL bottles by searching at Amazon or across the UK's biggest retailers, including Tesco, Waitrose and Morrisons. 18 plus, please drink responsibly.
This is the Championship Chat podcast, your home of news, views and debate from England's second tier.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Championship Chat podcast. I'm Elliot Jackson, of course, joined by my co-host George Smith. Hello, George.
Hello, Elliot. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not bad at all, mate. Not bad. Looking forward to getting stuck into another hour of reflection and previewing what else is to come as we really do approach the finishing line now. What have we got? 16 days of the season left and we still don't have a clue what is happening at the bottom, at the top or in the playoff race. So, yeah, you headlined last week's podcast, Nobody Wants to Go Up. What are you going to call this week's? Because you could put the same again, to be fair.
Nobody Wants to Go Up, brackets times two. Yeah, there's been plenty of twists and turns since we last spoke. As you say, going into the last final three match days of the season, we only know that Rotherham United will be in League One next season. We don't know who's in the Premier League. We don't know for sure who's in the top six and we don't know who's getting relegated. But this feels like a defining weekend because particularly at the bottom of the league where six of the bottom eight play each other, as we will be previewing later on, it will give us a good old idea of who might be dropping into League One. The picture should be clearer, although this is the EFL, so it's probably going to be as clear as mud. But the picture should be clearer come Tuesday morning because obviously the last game is Leeds Middlesbrough on Monday. But let's start at the top where there's been more twists and turns. And George, in the last three match days, there has been one victory between Leicester City, Leeds United and Ipswich Town. In the last two match days, there has been no victories and one goal scored between Leicester City, Ipswich Town and Leeds United. Nobody seems to fancy automatic promotion. And that, interestingly, has opened the door for Southampton. But we'll start with the league leaders who, despite picking up a result, unlike the other two last weekend, it still felt like an opportunity miss for Ipswich Town, who drew 1-1 at home to Middlesbrough. And again, with Ipswich, it was a lot of what we've seen from their performances at home, where they did have opportunities to win the game, but they also had to rely on some brilliant saves from Hlaki in goal, particularly one from Matt Clark from a header from a corner in the second half. It was a game they could have lost. It was a game they could have won. And that's been most of Ipswich Town's games this season, particularly at Portman Road in recent time, particularly. And it feels like that just nobody wants to grab the ball by the horns, do they? But Ipswich do sit top of the league on 89 points, having played a game more than Leicester, and 2 points clear of Leeds, having played the same number of games. So it's in their hands, ultimately. If they win all of their last three games, that would take them to 98 points, and that would secure a return to the Premier League. But again, as I say, they're the only team that got a result at the weekend, and yet it still feels like another opportunity missed where they're just not quite converting the chances at the same level that they have been in previously in the season. They're still creating the opportunities, which I suppose the main concern would be if they weren't doing that. But a few injuries in the camp as well, and they're just starting to falter. But they certainly are not the only ones. And of all the teams that are faltering, they're probably going to be the most happy at the moment.
Yeah, they will be, to be fair. But at the same time, I think Kieran McKenna and Ipswich Town's players, supporters, everybody associated with the club will have looked back on last week and thought 2 points from Watford and Middlesbrough at home, it is quite underwhelming because Watford, obviously, they arrived at Portman Road a week last Wednesday night in a position where they were still unbeaten under Tom Cleverley at the time. They were doing okay, been a few draws in there, but I watched that game and Watford, they made it difficult for Ipswich. the Middlesbrough game at the weekend, Middlesbrough arrived on a good unbeaten run themselves. Wasn't going to be an easy game, not by any stretch. But I think Ipswich, at this stage of the season, when you consider they lost to Norwich as well nearly 2 weeks ago now, they'll be disappointed that they've not won either of those two home games. That felt a really, really big opportunity to sort of get at least 4 points on the board as a minimum. And unfortunately, they've come out of it with two. But like you said, they've done the best out of the three of them in the past sort of 10 days or so with the way that Leeds and Leicester slipped up last weekend. But you look forward for Ipswich now, and the big situation for them is the fact that they haven't got a game this weekend coming, which is the weekend of April the 20th. They don't play again now till the 27th, which is an 8 o'clock kickoff away at Hull City a week on Saturday, and which time Southampton will have played another three games. Leicester and Leeds will have played a couple of times each. So Ipswich are going to be in a position where they've either got a real opportunity to possibly stretch a little bit of a lead, or they've got to claw a few points back. It's a really weird situation because obviously they should have played Coventry this weekend, and Coventry, of course, have got the FA Cup semi-final with Manchester United. So Ipswich's last three games are Hull away, that rearranged trip to Coventry, and then Huddersfield at home on the final day. Obviously, Hull, Coventry, we're going to discuss later on more in depth in regards to the playoff race. At the moment, both sides are still in with a chance of getting into the top six. That may have changed for Coventry and for Hull by the time these fixtures come around. So Ipswich, they're not really playing teams that have sort of got a free pass with, in the sense that they've got nothing to play for, but that could change by the time they face each other. And then, of course, it's Huddersfield on the final day of the season, which Ipswich, they'll be strong favourites to win. Huddersfield, who knows what they could need on the final day. So it's a real challenge now for Kieran McKenna because they've got three games coming up where potentially they're going to be playing three teams who have all got something to fight for, or by the point these fixtures come around, all three teams have got nothing to play for. Huddersfield may already be relegated, they may already be safe. Hull's playoff hopes may be over, Coventry's likewise. They may have been within a point of Norwich, for example. It's a really difficult one to sort of summarise at the minute, but ultimately I think Ipswich should be disappointed. It's three games without a win now. One goal scored in that run as well, which is very unusual for them because we know how prolific they've been this year. And then if you zoom out a little bit more, it's only three wins in seven, but they've only lost two games since February the 3rd when they lost 3-2 at Preston. So when you take a step back, it's not exactly disastrous. They're having a little wobble, but like you said at the top, they aren't alone in this, and their wobble is proving the best of the three wobbles, if you get my drift. So a bit disappointed they've not won either of those two home games, but at the end of the day, they're still top of the pile. They're a point clear heading into this weekend. They've got a weekend free this week, a full week to prepare for the whole game next week. So let's see how things go. But at the end of the day, they're still in a good position, and they know if they win their three games, they will get over the line. So it's a big opportunity, but they'll just be a tad disappointed they didn't win either of those two home games, certainly not one of them anyway.
Do you think it's interesting whether it, in terms of the psychology at this stage of the season, I know Sheffield Wednesday boss Dan O'Reill was suggesting that the fact they've got to play last against Blackburn on Sunday was a slightly unfair disadvantage. Whether the fact Ipswich are now going to have this game in hand, I know obviously Leicester and Southampton have had games in hand for a while now, but the whole reason Ipswich have been able to generally be ahead of the pack is because they've played earlier, or they've not been sat with games in hand for a lot of portion of the season. So it'll be interesting to see how that sort of psyche plays out. Obviously, they played last of the three teams that were going for automatic promotion last weekend, and I don't know how much I can't imagine they'll have watched the Plymouth game on Friday night against Leicester. How much they'll have caught of Leeds United 0 Blackburn 1, I'm not sure. But it's interesting to see how the psychology all plays into this, whether you want to play first and get it out of the way, whether it's better because if you watch your rivals lose, you can then pounce on that, although it didn't work out for Ipswich in that way, obviously, last weekend. For Leicester, it's been a pretty meek away week for them. Back-to-back defeats at Plymouth and at Millwall, 1-0 in both games, and pretty rubbish performances, really, pretty lackluster. And again, it feels like we've spoken recently about an inability to change the tempo or pattern of a match once Leicester City go behind in a dissimilar way to Ipswich, which you'd say is one of their better qualities. Leicester are probably better at controlling games from the first minute than Ipswich, but if Leicester go behind, they've shown very little substance to get themselves back in it. Enzo Maresca's shown very little appetite to change the formation, to change the strategy, to change the approach to break down their opponents. And this felt like a copy and paste of every Leicester City defeat we've watched this season, and certainly all of the defeats we've watched in recent time. The goal was really, really poor that they gave away. It's a nice ball by Adam Forshaw, but if you pause it where Bundu picks up the ball, Wout Faes just backs off and backs off and backs off. It's terrible defending from what is a Belgian international. He just doesn't engage Bundu at all until he's in the box. And then he's got a lovely angle to pick it into the bottom corner. It's a great finish, taking nothing away from him, but I was staggered, particularly when you watch, if you pause it when Bundu picks up the ball, how far away Faes is. It was really poor defending. And again, Leicester had chances. There was obviously that viral clip of Patson Daka with a very shanked, mishit volley at the back post. But they were never banging the door down, were they? And you just wonder whether, you know, it wasn't that long ago, what, 2 months ago, where Leicester were still getting the results, but there was a bit of unrest creeping in with the fans getting bored of the football, and now the results aren't going in their way. It's not felt like a harmonious club for a while now, especially with all the PSR gubbins going on in the background, and then that adds further pressure, because if they don't get up this season, they're going to have to make big sales. They're going to potentially have a points deduction as well, regardless of which division they're in. So it just feels like it's unravelled really quickly, but there were murmurings that this could have happened even before the results turned, that it wasn't an entirely happy camp. And it just feels like the sort of spirit and the way you galvanise a fan base, the way a fan base can galvanise you when you are behind, in the same way that we've seen Ipswich do so many times, you know, Leeds as well, although less in recent time, have had plenty of famous comeback. It feels like Leicester just don't quite have that spirit and that togetherness at the moment.
No, it certainly doesn't. I watched the game on Friday night against Plymouth, and I thought Leicester started quite brightly. They were quite sharp out of the blocks. They were attacking the Plymouth box very early, crowding the box. Ricardo Pereira, so often as he always does, getting in and around the edge of the D, moving inside from a fullback. And I thought it's only a matter of time before they breach this Plymouth back line. And then obviously Plymouth, with their first sort of meaningful attack of the game, get up the other end, and Bundu sticks a cool finish away from a Plymouth perspective. But like you said, the defending for it, particularly from Wout Faes, was really sort of really underwhelming for a player of his quality, because he has had a good season. Like you say, he's a Belgium international. But I think the thing for Leicester now is, like you said, that defeat at Millwall a few days earlier, now this one. If you look at Leicester's number of losses now, they're up to 10 defeats. It read 4 for so long. They've now lost 6 in 10, and suddenly only West Brom and Norwich have lost more games than them in the top 6, which is quite unbelievable from the position they were in. But you mentioned there about Leicester seemingly getting stuck when they go behind. I've just looked at the stats now. Leicester have trailed at 15 games they've trailed in this season, and they've lost 10 of them, of the 15. Whereas Ipswich, for example, have trailed on 22 occasions and have lost just 6, which shows you where Ipswich, like you quite rightly said there, they come into their own. They find a way to fight back, 32 points gained from losing
positions.
You're
looking at, what, 66% versus around 25?
Something like that, yeah.
Not far off.
Obviously, there is a bit of a difference in terms of the number of deficits. Ipswich have had 22, Leicester 15, but Leicester 13 points gained from losing positions. Ipswich 32, Leeds 22. So there is a big difference between the three of them when they go behind. But I think for Leicester, obviously Ipswich have had a bit of a wobble, but it's mainly because of these last couple of draws where we're saying that, against Watford and Middlesbrough, of course. But when you look at Leicester in recent weeks, and this is no disrespect to the teams that have beaten them, because you've got to give them huge credit, they've lost to Millwall, who were down at the wrong end of the table, lost to Plymouth at the wrong end of the table, lost to QPR, wrong end of the table. QPR, of course, was a home game as well. This is really worrying, because Leicester, for so long, were coasting towards the title. And it wasn't just a case of us saying it sort of, oh, they're going to win it. Everybody thought it. Let's be honest. Everybody thought Leicester were going to win this league at a canter. And it looked that way up until, what, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago? Mm. And now all of a sudden, they're in a position where they're not even guaranteed automatic promotion. Never mind the title. They play Southampton next Tuesday night. And goodness me, what a game that's going to be. It could be absolutely massive for both clubs' seasons. So it makes you wonder if it is a sense of complacency and Leicester's players just sort of thinking, the job's done, we can relax now, we're nearly there. Surely we're not going to get caught. And now all of a sudden, they're in a position where they are not guaranteed the top two, never mind the title. So I think it's a position now for Leicester where you look at their remaining games and they've got 3 of their last 4 on home soil. That's got to count for something, because they have been poor on the road in recent weeks. Let's not forget that. So they've got West Brom this coming weekend. Then it's Southampton at home next Tuesday. As I've said, they're massive game. We all know why. The following Monday, Preston away. Potential banana skin. Not an easy one away at Deepdale. Monday night, everybody else will have played already that weekend. And then it's Blackburn at home on the final day of the season. And as we've seen in recent weeks with Blackburn winning at Leeds, Millwall winning at Southampton, QPR winning at Leicester, there is absolutely nothing that can be guaranteed at this stage of the season. It's just, I've given up sort of picking results out thinking that'll happen there, you'll get 3 points there. It's just pointless now because we are seeing at this point in the season, anything is possible. And realistically now for Leicester, they've just got to go into these last four games with the mindset of, if we win these four games, we win the league. It's as simple as that. We will win the title. We'll get 100 points. It's the maximum we can finish on. Ipswich can only get to 98. Leeds can only get to 96. We know our fate is in our own hands. So they need a reaction first and foremost in terms of performances, because to have gone to Millwall and to Plymouth, with no disrespect to those two, but have failed to score in both games, that's really, really underwhelming for the quality they've got. As I said at the start of this, I watched the game with Plymouth last Friday night, and Leicester, they need to change something in that forward line, because Patterson Daka, he is just, his confidence is shot, absolutely shot. I've not seen a Championship striker waste so many good opportunities, and it makes you wonder, does he go with the tried and tested of Jamie Vardy? Does he give Tom Cannon perhaps a run in the team?
I think it would be very, very brave having barely used Tom Cannon all season.
It would be, but when he stepped up Tom Cannon, there's been a few instances where he's delivered the goods, Tom Cannon.
I'm not saying you shouldn't, I'm saying you won't.
No, definitely not. But Jamie Vardy seems like the better option, of course. But Patson Daka at the moment, the persistence to go with him is certainly questionable from Enzo Maresca. So Leicester know what they need to do. West Brom at home this weekend. It's not an easy game. The Baggies are, I think, seven games unbeaten away from home now. It's the longest current unbeaten run in the league away from home. So it's not going to be easy. But Leicester, generally speaking, have got the job done at home one way or another. It's their away form where they've faltered the most recently. So let's see what they can do. But with Ipswich not playing this weekend, Leicester know that obviously Leeds don't play till Monday night. They can open up a little bit of a gap on them, go 4 points in front of them. So they've got to take this chance. Southampton play Saturday afternoon as well. So Leicester, as you said, they go the first this weekend of the three promotion contenders that are in action. And then they've got that big one with Southampton next Tuesday night. But I'll tell you something, when you reflect on this recent wobble that we've seen from the three of them, it's a very, very good job that Jeremy Sarmiento stuck that last-minute winner away for Ipswich against Southampton on Easter Monday. Because if he'd not popped that in, goodness me, this would be even tighter than it was. They'd only be, I think 3 points between Southampton and Ipswich, whereas there's five currently. They say, don't they, about defining moments. Could that be one for Ipswich that gets them over the line? We will see. But for Leicester, I mean, the decline in them in the last few weeks has been staggering when you think about it. It's three away defeats in a row, zero goals scored. Is it the fact that three of their last four are at home that might get them over the line? We will see. But Enzo Maresca, one way or another, he's got to get a reaction because they were really, really poor at Plymouth.
And then Leeds United, has the pressure got to them as well? Has the weight of that shirt become too heavy for such a young squad? They had chances against Blackburn, but they struggled to break them down in truth. You know, Ainsley Pears was not overworked. Now, of course, you go to Elland Road and you win, and he did get Sky Sports Man of the Match. Your goalkeeper's going to have a good game. He's going to have to pull off saves. And that he did. You know, there was one from Junior Firpo, Georgina Ruter, and Dan James flashed one just wide of the post. But Blackburn looked dangerous on the counter, and Leeds looked susceptible when they gave the ball away. You know, I thought the first 20 minutes, Leeds looked quite ominous, and they were going to win, you know. I didn't think it was going to be a procession like the Bristol City game, but I thought maybe 2-0. But when they didn't score, Rovers grew in confidence. And that will be a perfect game plan, what Blackburn did, for so many other teams. Now, executing it is not as easy as dreaming up a game plan. Of course it's not. And Rovers did an amazing job of sitting in a low block, defending well. And it helps when you've got the most clinical forward in the Championship to take your very few opportunities that you do have. But it does look like a lack of experience is showing in that Leeds United group because, you know, if you look at the winning goal for Blackburn, it's a brilliant goal from a Blackburn perspective, but it's a nightmare goal from a Leeds United perspective because it's a long kick, it's a flick on, it's a clever ball from Dolan, but two defenders have lost Smodic, and he finishes so well to take him to 30 for the season in all competitions. But Leeds not scored in either of the two home games, having been obviously previously unbeaten before the weekend at Elm Road this season, and that really has been the backbone of their form. And then you lose to Coventry, draw at home to Sunderland, nothing to play for, lose 1-0 at home to Blackburn Rovers, who obviously did need the points themselves. It does look like the pressure's getting to them a little bit. And we spoke a lot about the functionality of the attack breaking down a little bit. He went with Perreault and Routier again. I thought Perreault looked poor, if I'm being completely honest. Just looks a bit bereft of confidence, looked a bit clumsy, a bit rusty. Routier looked decent in spells, but still got taken off quite early. And then that Somerville is by far their most lively attacker. Give the ball to him and see what he can do. But teams are fighting for their lives down there. And I thought Blackburn's game plan at Leeds showed a really, really good way of how he can play against this Leeds United team and get a lot of joy.
Yeah, it certainly did. And what a contrast from what happened 3 days earlier at Ashton Gate. I went with it as my banker last weekend. Noticed one of the tweets that you had in response, I think, to one of your match reports or your player ratings, with somebody saying your mate went for Leeds as a banker. What does he know? Quite right. What do I know?
Well, I could have told them that a long time ago from doing this podcast.
Yeah, I know. Of course you could. Of course you could. But in all seriousness, I mean, what a win for Blackburn, first and foremost. Let's look at the positives of that. A huge, huge win. And let's be honest, if they were going to score a goal, it was going to be that man, Sammy Smodic, wasn't it? It's remarkable what he's achieved this season. Quite remarkably, still not enough to win the Player of the Season award, which I'm sure we'll mention.
We'll come on to that.
We will come on to that, and I'm sure we'll both have something we actually can agree on for a change. But no, a big win for Rovers and for John Eustace to get that sort of reaction, that response, bearing in mind, like I said, what happened not even 72 hours before that at Bristol City.
I suppose you can also just factor in the fact that Leeds obviously had an extra day's rest. Rovers didn't get back from Bristol till the early hours of Thursday morning, so real, real character shown by Blackburn to put in that performance, having been battered and produced one of their worst performances of the season, certainly the worst since John Eustace took over.
Hell of a performance. It was perfect to a T. I watched the game in its entirety and I was really, really impressed. I thought first 15, 20 minutes, as expected, Leeds were in their faces. They were going to try and do as much as they could. They needed a response themselves after what happened against Sunderland on the Tuesday night. But Blackburn, they stood firm, they were resolute. But like you said, on the break, they did look dangerous. They arguably had the best chance of the first half when Smodic went through and Melier denied him. And then obviously second half, Leeds continued to probe. They continued to dictate the possession. But again, Blackburn, they found a way through and they breached that Leeds back line, which, let's be honest, has been very, very good this season, particularly at centre half. And obviously Sammy Smodic, the man of the moment, pops up with the 30th goal of the season with a very, very cool finish. Excellent ball through from Tyrese Dolan, who, I must admit, I would argue is probably one of the most underrated attackers in this division. I'm a big fan of Tyrese Dolan, and have been for several years. I know I don't watch him every week like you do, but when I've generally seen clips of him, he does look like there's a really talented player in there.
His highlight package is probably better than watching him for 90 minutes, is what I would say. There is a player in there, there is talent, but consistency is a big issue still.
Yeah, but he's only 20. Let's be honest. Exactly. He's a very young age still. There is that point. And, you know, it does feel like he's been around for quite a while, though. It does feel like he's been a player that's been on the Championship circuit for a good while now, and it feels like he's probably older than what he actually is. But perfect pass through for Smodic. Excellent finish. And obviously, it clinches what could be a season-saving 3 points for Blackburn Rovers now with 3 games left to play. Obviously, they're not mathematically safe yet, but it probably would take a big swing in results for them to go down now. Had they have lost that game, it would have made Sunday's game with Sheffield Wednesday even bigger. Still a big game coming in, of course, but arguably bigger for Wednesday now. But for Leeds, like you said, defeat at Coventry, defeat at Blackburn with a draw with Sunderland sandwiched in between. 1 win in 5 now as well. And even in that game they did win against Hull City on Easter Monday evening, they weren't at their convincing best. They found a way to get the job done, which is what you need to do at this point in the season. Points are all that matter at this stage. Performances go out the window. But even at Watford 3 days earlier, Good Friday, they weren't great. Watford played really, really well that night. So Daniel Farke now is in a position similar to Enzo Maresca, where they've been on such a good run for much of the season and they're stumbling at the most important point in the season, Ipswich as well. But like you said, the backbone of Leeds' success this year has been that form at Elland Road. They've only got one game left at Elland Road this season, their final three. And we all know who that's against. It's that final day, now potential shootout that did look to be on the cards for a while. Then it disappeared. And now it could be a final day shootout with Southampton again. But before that, Middlesbrough away, QPR away, both on Sky, both under the lights. Middlesbrough on the longest unbeaten run in the division currently. And when you think back to Middlesbrough early this season, they've beaten Leicester at home this year. They've beaten Southampton at home. They drew away at Southampton recently, got a point at Ipswich last weekend, won at Leicester away. Middlesbrough have got a really good record against this top four this year. This is not going to be an easy game for Daniel Farke. Middlesbrough, as well as that, if I remember off the top of my head, lost 3-2 at Elland Road, I think it was in December. Very tight game. Mm. So they've proven they can make life difficult for the top boys. So this won't be easy for Leeds. And when you consider that, obviously, Southampton will have already played, Leicester likewise, the pressure's going to potentially be really on Leeds to get a result here. Then a few days later, they go to QPR. Next Friday night, QPR potentially, depending what happens for them this weekend, they might need a point, they might need three to just assure themselves of safety. They might need nothing, who knows? But that's not going to be easy. QPR, even though they've slacked off recently, have been generally a lot better this calendar year. Then, of course, we reach that potential shootout against Southampton on the final day. So Leeds, realistically, they've got a tough running from here. This is three really, really tough games. These two away games are very much, probably, certainly the Middlesbrough game, with the form they're in at the minute and their record against the top teams, is a really, really tough ask for Leeds. But we know if they're at their best, which is what they were between January and the end of March, they can quite easily get 9 points from these three games. So it's going to be a very, very interesting race to the finish line. And I honestly sit here now, 16 days out from the end of the season, still with not the foggiest of how this is going to end. Well, it's just truly gripping. It's breathtaking. But my God, I wouldn't have it any other way. As us as neutrals of those teams, it's brilliant. It really is.
The joker in the pack, of course, is Southampton, who are making things very interesting because they dispatched Preston North End 3-0 in one of the most comfortable victories you're likely to see at this level. Particularly that first half was one-way traffic, Shea Adams back in the goals, and they look pretty ominous. Are they going to run out of track? That's the interesting question. They've got 4 games left, of course, so they can get to 96 points. They're currently 3 points behind Leeds United in fourth, and they can get to 96, which would obviously mean Leeds could only get to 93. And it would mean Leicester could still get to 97 and Ipswich, obviously completely unaffected by Southampton, could get to 98. So it's still not in their hands. But having won 3 on the bounce, they've got momentum and they've got a real chance. If they can win their last 4, which obviously won't be easy because they've got to go to Elland Road, they've got to go to the King Power. I just wonder how much they'll end up ruining these Easter results. I think they're just going to run out of games, if I'm being completely honest, because although we've not seen much form at all from the top three, I think it's perfectly plausible they could finish above Leeds. How plausible it is that they'll be able to win all 4 games and then still hope that Ipswich don't pick up, Ipswich would have to pick up 7 points from the last 9. Plausible, actually. And Leicester don't pick up 8 points from their last 12 available. It's going to be really interesting. I just wonder if they might just run out of room, run out of games, and I think they'll just look back and really rue those Easter results.
They will, when you consider they obviously conceded against Middlesbrough in the last minute, deep into injury time at Portman Road. Those sort of, what would it have been, 3 extra points they would have had if they'd managed to see them results through as they were. Yeah, it would have been certainly a big, big impact on things, but we can all do that for all teams and sort of pick out moments and say if this had happened, if that had happened. But the bottom line, they didn't. But Southampton deserve credit because, 3 weeks ago, it was forgotten about their automatic hopes. It was done. It was all about preparing for the playoffs. And now suddenly 3 wins in a week, all at home, have dragged them right back into the mix. And the fact they play Leicester and Leeds makes it all the more interesting. This weekend, Cardiff away, probably the second easiest game on paper they've got left. They've still got to play Stoke at home on the 27th, which is next Saturday. they've got to be winning that one. There's no doubt about that. That's a game that they'll be putting a ring around and saying we have to get 3 points from that, come what may. Cardiff away the same. Leicester midweek, huge. Leeds final day, potentially huge. We shall see what's riding on it come the time we get to that point. But I think the thing for Russell Martin is, because even if they do miss out on the top two, but they say win two or three of the last four, maybe go unbeaten, they can have momentum going into the playoffs. That's the really big thing. Momentum can be so key in football, as we know. But I wouldn't rule them out yet, because I watched the game against Preston on Tuesday night, and again, showing my dedication to the Championship, I went for Southampton-Preston rather than the Barcelona versus Paris Saint-Germain. I think I deserve honorary for that, the Championship, as I stick to my guns, greatest league in the world. And Southampton, as I say, that first half Preston, I thought, they're going to get 5 or 6, maybe 7 here. They're absolutely laying into them like hell. And obviously they eased off in the second half. Preston made a couple of tactical changes just to try and shore things up and not let it become a complete annihilation. But Southampton, they got a spring in their step, and you could see that they were hungry, sniffing blood. And if they continue to perform like that, like in the first half, they're going to be difficult for teams to handle, because they clearly got a vengeance about them. They were keen to sort of cut into Preston and really do damage. Che Adams is in sparkling form. Adam Armstrong is continuing to deliver the goods. And all of a sudden now, with 4 games to go, the odds have been absolutely slashed on them to get into the top two. I actually saw a post yesterday, Wednesday morning after they'd beaten Preston, where one of the bookmakers actually said 10 days ago, the odds on Southampton getting in the top two were 100 to 1. They're now 7 to 1, which shows just how big a week they've had. And we should just add their bookies odds. They mean very little. But let's be honest, they've got into a position now with 4 games to go. They've got a chance. 2 massive away games within those 4. Only 1 left at home, which I think will be a little bit annoying for Southampton, because if you flip it round and they got 3 of the last 4 at home, I'd probably even be giving them a stronger chance, because their away form been a little bit iffy recently. They've only won 1 of the last 3 on the road. So Russell Martin probably would have preferred these last 3 of the 4 to be on their own patch, but they're not. But like you said the other night, we've given ourselves a chance. We've got an opportunity. Let's see how far we can take this. And ultimately now, this game with Leicester next Tuesday night, whatever happens this weekend, it could be absolutely enormous. Imagine if Leicester are beaten this weekend and Southampton win again. Then goodness me, we could be in for a treat next Tuesday. So Southampton, credit to them. They've clawed it back. They've given themselves a sniff. And honestly, I wouldn't rule anything out yet. It's certainly not over until the mathematics say otherwise.
Right, let's try and unpick this mess at the bottom of the Championship, because it's a monster weekend coming up. 6 of the bottom 8 play each other. I think most interestingly, of course, is, well, headline-wise, is Rotherham United v Birmingham City will have a new manager in the dugout. They sacked Liam Richardson, did the Millers this week, and brought in Steve Evans pretty much straight away for his second stint in charge. Of course, he did a fantastic job in his first spell at the club, leading them out of League 2 and out of League 1 up into the Championship, and keeping them in the division for the first season as well before leaving the club. And we spoke on last week's pod after Rotherham United's relegation was confirmed, the post-mortem, about the club trying to bring unity back to the club. I do think this helps. I do think this, a new figure, a new face, who is a little bit Marmite, a bit larger than life, I do think that will help bring some unity back to Rotherham United. However, at the same time, I do think it is quite harsh on Liam Richardson, who inherited a lot of problems and was brought in pretty much for League One as much as the Championship. And reading between the lines, obviously, Tony Stewart, the chairman, did an article, did an interview with the Rotherham Advertiser in March, and very much backed Liam Richardson, said he would be the manager for next season. But it appears the way that Rotherham have gone out of the Championship with a whimper, with the back-to-back 5-0 processions at Coventry and at Norwich City, that his opinion's changed on that, and they've moved very quickly. They paid compensation as well to bring Steve Evans back in from Stevenage, where he'd done a fantastic job as well, getting them out of League 2 and on the brink of the playoffs in League 1 back in their debut season. So I think Birmingham will go to the New York Stadium, and I can't imagine they'll be very pleased by this appointment. I don't think they will have wanted any complications, because they've got obviously 2 massive games in their next couple, away at Rotherham, away at Huddersfield, which will define their season. And they beat Coventry last time out, of course, as well. So it's going to be a really interesting game this of the week, and this just adds another wrinkle to it.
Yeah, you could say that. I think probably Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield Town fans are probably more delighted at Steve Evans' appointment than probably Rotherham fans are, to be fair, because they're probably thinking now, please pray to God, new manager bounce. Rotherham, of course, have got nothing but pride to play for in these last three games. That's all that they've got. They've got to now prepare for League One. And it is quite unusual that Rotherham, and or any club indeed, have done this with three games to go, relegation confirmed. But Tony Stewart, we know, he's got a relationship with Steve Evans. Steve Evans did a very, very good job in his previous spell at Rotherham. And for a while, it felt like it was inevitable he would end up back there.
There were some links when Matt Taylor was sacked, weren't there? And it felt like there was definitely something in that. And whether Steve, my gut feeling is now Steve Evans probably didn't want to walk away from Stevenage in the playoffs at the time. But now they've fallen away, and now, you know, Stevenage will definitely be in League One. Rotherham will definitely be in League One. That's sort of been the catalyst for this deal finally getting over the line. It feels like Liam Richardson was never first choice at Rotherham. Well, we know that for a fact. Nathan Jones turned the job down, and various other candidates that we're led to believe.
Yeah, Stevenage have fallen now down to ninth place, which would still be a very, very good achievement for a first season back in League One.
Absolutely.
For a club of their stature, with respect. But Steve Evans, he's got the affiliation with Rotherham. He knows the club. We all know what happened last time, the infamous video of him running down the touchline at Wembley, pulling his trousers up with that amazing Alex Rebell goal all them years ago.
When the DJ announces that the buffet is open.
Yeah, indeed. But it just feels like one of them fits where a manager and a club go hand in hand. And that is what Rotherham and Steve Evans are. And Steve Evans is quite right. You've summed it up. He's a Marmite character, isn't he? If he's not your manager, you don't like him. It's as simple as that. If he's your manager, you love him. And there's countless players who are like that. But it just seems really, really bizarre that they've done this with three games left, with their fate already sealed. But I suppose it gives Steve Evans a chance to come in for these final three games and sort of maybe assess first-hand close-up of who's willing to roll their sleeves up, who is basically down tools, who can't be bothered anymore. And when you're already down, I suppose it is hard when you are a footballer and going into these games knowing that you've literally got nothing to play for, your season's already been a disaster. But we know Steve Evans, he's a character that likes to get players fired up. We know that he's very energised, very enthusiastic. And I think it certainly makes Birmingham's challenge a little bit harder this weekend now. Because going into this game, Birmingham are going to be full of confidence after what they did to Coventry last week. There's no doubt about that.
And that was a real standout performance, wasn't it?
It was superb.
We need to touch on that. That was a really, really great win for them.
They played some great stuff. They really did play some good stuff. And Jay Stansfield, again, man on the score sheet. He deserves an honourable mention as well, because he's having a brilliant season. His goals have started to flow again since Gary Rowett's come in. But just lastly on the Rotherham thing, I think Steve Evans coming in will certainly maybe just inject a glimmer of confidence into the veins of perhaps Sheffield Wednesday, Huddersfield fans, maybe Stoke as well, that maybe Birmingham could be denied an opportunity to perhaps get away this weekend a little bit more. So it'd be an interesting game. And let's not forget Rotherham, as poor as they've been all season, excuse me, they sprung a surprise not long ago, beating Millwall. No one saw that coming. So there is always that element that something can happen. And how many times have we seen a team, once relegated, they get a couple of wins when you least expect it? And to be fair to Rotherham, believe it or not, as crackers as it sounds, a 1-0 defeat at Swansea last weekend wasn't exactly a terrible result. I will confess that. But when you think about it, a 1-0 away defeat at Swansea, who've been flying recently, it's almost like maybe Rotherham are going to sort of improve a little bit. Maybe it's wishful thinking, I don't know. But it certainly made Birmingham's challenge a little bit more interesting at the very least. Not necessarily harder, but certainly an added spice to it from a Rotherham perspective. So, be an interesting one. But for Birmingham, huge, huge win last weekend, and a very, very good performance to go with it as well.
Sheffield Wednesday go to Blackburn on Sunday. This is obviously the last game of those at the bottom to be played. Middlesbrough v Leeds United on Monday. If Blackburn win, they're safe. That is the mathematics of it. Having sat down and crunched all the numbers today at work, a point all but does it for Rovers. It won't do it in mathematical terms, but I think a point keeps Blackburn in the Championship for next season, particularly given they've got a superior goal difference on most of the teams around them. Certainly Birmingham, Wednesday and Huddersfield, who are the three teams that really they're looking at to ensure that they have to stay above. I think Sheffield Wednesday have got to win this game. It is a game that they have to go and win, having dropped points at home to Stoke, again from a winning position, just like they did at home to Swansea recently. You know, we can chuck out all the statistics about Danny Rearle and how Wednesday been a mid-table team since he came in, or a top 10 team since December, but they are going to run out of games very shortly if they don't start picking up wins, and they probably need two wins out of their last three, which I don't think is impossible at all, because they're going to play West Brom at home. West Brom, who have faltered recently, one win in five. They've got Sunderland away, who, again, are just like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get, to quote Forrest Gump. Whether they're drawing 0-0 at Elland Road or getting thrashed 5-1 by Rovers at home. You don't know what you're going to get from them. So I'm not writing Sheffield Wednesday off at all, but I do think if they lose this game at the weekend, that could be terminal. And it's a game they're going to have to go and win. They're going to be backed by 7,400 away fans in the Darwen end at Ewood Park. It's going to be a brilliant spectacle, especially with what will have gone before on the Saturday. And from a Blackburn perspective, thank God they won at Elland Road, because it really does take the pressure off this game. They still, you know, they'll want to go and finish the job. You know, if they, it's been a poor season for Blackburn. Let's go and win in front of our own fans. Let's quieten the away crowd, and let's go and mathematically secure our future. So there's plenty to play for from them. They still, a point would be good, I think, for Rovers as well, personally. But for Wednesday, this feels must win.
100%. Wednesday for me have to win this game. I said to you privately earlier today that I do genuinely believe now Wednesday have got to win two of their last three, and even that might still not be enough. Had they have kept hold of that lead against Stoke last Saturday, they'd have gone into this weekend, not necessarily the game against Blackburn, but the weekend itself, out of the bottom three. That's how close they were. They were outside of the bottom three for about 8 minutes. Life never felt so good, to be quite honest. But all of a sudden, they're straight back in it again with that Stoke goal. And I just look at Wednesday now, and I think the best way you summarise it there, I just think they are going to run out of games to get the job done. Whereas this time last week, after coming back against Norwich and getting that point, I was a lot more confident that they would do it. Stoke at home, I thought, it's going to be a big crowd. Confidence is going to be high after beating Norwich, after getting a point against Norwich, beating QPR a few days earlier before that. And then obviously to get Stoke, take the lead against Stoke and then get pegged back to a point, it was an underwhelming result. And Wednesday had the chances. They should have been 2 or 3 and up by half time. They had a lorry load of opportunities. And that ultimately has been the story of their season. Certainly since Danny Rearle came in, the performances, generally speaking, under Danny Rearle, probably minus about 3 or 4, they've been in every single game. They've not sort of downed tools at any point, except for what happened at Middlesbrough and away at Ipswich. Aside from that, they've been spot on, they've been competitive, they've been in the face of their opponents. But now I just think they might just run out of steam, they might run out of games, and the fact that Huddersfield play Birmingham on the 27th adds an extra spanner in the works, if you like. That's going to be a day, say if Wednesday get a win this weekend, regardless of what Birmingham and Huddersfield do, whatever, Wednesday are going to be absolutely praying that that ends in a draw, where they've got to beat West Brom themselves. I look at the West Brom game and I think there's a very, very high probability that West Brom by that point may have secured a playoff place guaranteed. I think it's already done anyway in that case, but just to be official, I think it could well be done. Will Carlos Corberan rotate to save players? They'd still have another league game left before the playoffs. Possibly not to ask players to go 2.5 weeks without playing your main men. It's a big ask to sort of bench them and say 2 weeks later, come back in and go again, lads. So, but then again, having said that, Wednesday can't rely on that. They've got to go out there and prove it themselves. As Michael Smith said in the press conference today, whatever happens with Saturday results, we have to go to Blackburn and win. And I do agree with him. I think it is a must-win game. And whatever happens with Wednesday's fate, fans of other clubs will look at it and say, well, he's not kept them up, which would be quite true. But Danny Rearle, with what he's had to work with, the fact that Wednesday are still in with a chance of staying up is a miracle in itself. Let's not forget, and I'm going to factually say this correctly this week, it took them 14 games to get that first win, not 13, 14. To be in with a chance with 3 games to go is a miracle in itself. Let's not forget, this Wednesday side were 12 points adrift on December the 1st. They were 8 points adrift when they lost to Huddersfield on the 4th of February. Just to be in with a chance is a miracle. Danny Rearle's not been given a single permanent signing since he came in. So you've got to give him credit for that. He's done a good job with what he's had to work with. But ultimately, if he doesn't keep them up, then it was all for nothing. But Danny Rill, we already know, as Wednesday fans ourselves, he's going to be, fans are already on their knees begging him to stay next season, whatever happens. But I really do feel this is must. I honestly believe this is make or break this weekend for Wednesday. I said it last weekend against Stoke. They got a bit of a reprieve with Bristol City's late equaliser at Huddersfield, giving them a helping hand. But this weekend, whatever happened on Saturday, Wednesday have got to go to Blackburn and win. Will 7,500 away fans make the difference? Who knows? Maybe. We shall see. But this is a bloody big game. There's no doubt about it. Lose, and I think that's it. Draw, more than likely. Win, and the fight goes on.
And then, in the Potteries, the Stephen Schumacher derby, Stoke versus Plymouth. Whoever wins this game is safe in my
eyes. Sounds tasty, that one.
Yeah.
Sounds very tasty.
I think also the backstory behind Neil Jusnip literally being Stephen Schumacher's teacher is absolutely phenomenal. So the history, but like obviously that goes back there. Obviously, you've got players like Luke Kundle that played at the first half of the season for Plymouth as well. Plymouth obviously picked up 2 wins in 3 and 7 points in 9 since they made that change, which has aged really well for them. I think whoever wins this game is safe. Maybe not mathematically, but certainly like in my mind, I think if you get to 50 points, I think you'll be 50 points with a superior goal difference. I think you save 51 to be sure. That's kind of what my reading of this situation is at the minute. And then you've got Huddersfield hosting Swansea, which obviously Swansea are safe now, but they're not miles above this pack. So that's quite an interesting game still. Huddersfield obviously got a massive kick in the teeth, which we've spoken about against Bristol City, which was just the wrong decision. And that could be a massive moment when we look back on how the table pans out in May and we look at the turning points. That could be a massive decision. QPR are not out of the woods either yet. After 1 win in 3, they've got Preston, Leeds and Coventry to finish, which is not easy.
1 win in 4 for QPR, isn't it? 3 without a win now for QPR.
Yeah. And then, of course, you've got Millwall as well, who are now out of it again as well, as I say, after beating Cardiff 3-1. They're on 50 points and a decent goal. So I think they're out of this now, having beat Cardiff 3-1. So all of those teams not involved in terms of the 6 out of 8, but really big fixtures.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a really, really big weekend. And I think, obviously, for example, let's say Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday both get a win. And then say, for instance, I don't know, Plymouth and Stoke draw, QPR are beaten by Preston in the tea time gig on Saturday. All of a sudden, they're all right on top of each other again. Whereas at this point, QPR have got a 3-point cushion on Huddersfield and Wednesday and a far superior goal difference, certainly to Wednesday anyway. So it's a big, big weekend. There's no doubt about it. Plymouth and Stoke, I would argue the winner of that, if we get one, is probably home and dry, I think.
I think so.
Plymouth, as I said to you before we started recording this, they could have a big, big say in this, in the sense that not only for their own sake, but in terms of others as well, because they've got Stoke away this weekend, Millwall away the following weekend. And say if, like you, I do agree, Millwall, I think, are home and dry now. I think Millwall are okay. 50 points should be enough, certainly for the position they're in at this point. But say if Plymouth go to Millwall and Plymouth win, then they're going to open up a bit of a gap probably on them behind them again and just sort of knock the teams down that can be capable of catching them to pulling them in, with say, into the final day. I still believe that this, certainly for one of those two last spaces, will go down to the final day. Huddersfield Birmingham throws the biggest spanner in the works of the lot on the 27th of April. That is a huge, huge game for both clubs. And Sheffield Wednesday will be, of course, keeping a very watchful eye on it, particularly if results go their way this weekend. Stoke, like I say, one more win, probably do it for them. QPR as well. QPR back-to-back home games, Preston and Leeds. It's not impossible that they could win one of them, could win both of them. They've got it in them. We've seen that. They've got the quality. They went to Leicester and won. So really, really big weekend. But I still believe, looking at it now, I wouldn't be surprised, being brutally honest, if that bottom three doesn't change now, with it being Huddersfield, Wednesday and Rotherham to go down. I think if Birmingham win at Rotherham this weekend, I think it certainly spells trouble for Wednesday and Huddersfield more than sort of saves Birmingham in that sense, if that makes sense, because Huddersfield, Birmingham the following weekend, it's going to give Birmingham confidence going into that game. Huddersfield, they know they've got to chuck everything at it. And then Wednesday, all they can do is stand back and watch that game while they're facing West Brom themselves. So I just think maybe Wednesday run out of games. Huddersfield, Birmingham, does the winner of that stay up? Depends what happens this weekend. And the final day, Huddersfield go to Ipswich. Tough, tough ask. Birmingham at home to Norwich. Who knows what Norwich might need on the final day. They may already be home and dry in the top six. So the Huddersfield-Birmingham game, those two colliding, has the biggest influence, I think, on this whole battle. Plymouth-Stoke, I think the winner of that this weekend stays up. Blackburn, obviously, they know what they need to do. I think Millwall are there now. QPR, they probably need one win from somewhere just to be sure, because their regression's been quite quick, because over Easter, they look like as though the job was done for them. And
after they won at Swansea, I was calling QPR safe. I was quite...
Yes, I was as well. And Marty Cifuentes sort of said, didn't he, the following week when they lost to Sheffield Wednesday, as if to say, maybe my players underestimated this, thinking perhaps the job was done. And obviously they were beaten 2-0. Then they drew with Plymouth, then got beat 3-0 by Hull City last weekend. So they've certainly not made it easy for themselves, QPR. I think they will stay up. I do think they'll be okay. But you can never be too sure at this stage of the season.
Birmingham's fixtures are quite favourable, aren't they? When you think they've got away, Birmingham away, and probably... Sorry,
Rotherham away. Birmingham playing Birmingham. That's clever.
And then they've got Norwich at home.
How are they working that one out?
Which does feel a winnable game, given the context of where their seasons might be at.
Yeah, it does. But I just think, in typical Championship fashion, it's the same case at the top. You know damn well there's going to be an unexpected twist in it somewhere. Something's going to happen that we don't expect. It's the Championship. It's this point in the season. Who knows? Could it be a Paul Caddis moment again on the final day from somebody? Who knows? But I wouldn't be surprised if we go into the final day with at least one of those three relegation spots still to be decided. So, yeah, it's just so difficult. I know we've said the thing on repeat now for about 3 or 4 weeks that it is hard, and it is difficult. Obviously, us two are hoping, praying that Wednesday stay up, but are they going to run out of games? I think they could. I think that the fact they didn't beat Stoke was a real kick in the teeth, because like I said to you last week, if they'd have beaten Stoke and they'd have ended that week with 7 points out of nine, having played QPR and Norwich, it would have been a really strong week. Ending it with five, that was really disappointing. And it's now for Wednesday as well, it's four home games without a win, where they've been so good at home under Danny Rowe. Three draws in that run. So, yeah, will they run out of games? Time will tell. But let's see what happens. But like I say, there'll be one more twist somewhere. I'm sure of it.
The playoff picture looks a little bit clearer, George, to be honest, after the weekend's results, because Norwich's win over Preston puts them right in the driving seat. It rules Preston out as well, who also then went and lost at Southampton. So Preston's season is done. The big winners of the weekend, apart from Norwich, were Hull City, having beaten QPR in quite a commanding fashion, and probably the most complete performance we've seen from Liam Rossini's side for a long time now, actually, to be honest. It might even be their best performance of the calendar year, in truth. Coventry then went and lost at Birmingham. I'm still counting Middlesbrough out on points and because of the fixtures they've got left, personally. And it does definitely feel like it's Norwich's and West Brom's to lose. But West Brom, it's probably worth noting on, because if we're saying there's doubt over Norwich's place, well, West Brom are only 1 point clear of Norwich, and they've only won one of the last five games, losing 1-0 with 10 men against Sunderland. And that form has reeled them back in a little bit. The crucial thing in this playoff battle for me is Hull playing Coventry in midweek. And Hull have got to win. Coventry have got to win. Whoever wins still has a chance, in my opinion, of getting in the top six, particularly if it's Hull, who have got more points than Coventry at this stage. But it does feel like there can only be a maximum of Coventry or Hull. One of them will be still chasing Coventry, Norwich and West Brom going into the final two fixtures, in my opinion, because whoever doesn't win in midweek, and if they both draw, that's probably both of them knackered. With 6 points to play, it feels like there can only possibly be one challenger between Hull and Coventry, depending on that midweek result.
Yeah, I think, to be brutally honest with you, And this may be brave and it may come back to bite me, and if it does, so be it. I'll just have to take the stick that inevitably come, no doubt, from you first up. But I think West Brom and Norwich will get those two spots. I think a six-point gap...
That's not the hot take you seem to think it is.
No, it's not. But you know what the Championship is like. It can sneak up on you when you least expect it. But I think Norwich having won at Preston, which was a really significant result, and obviously then Preston lost at Southampton in midweek.
Bit of footwork from Gabriel Sarra, by the way, for the win.
What a player.
Rumour has it just the defender today for Preston is still sliding.
Yeah. Yeah. It was rather magical, and Gabriel Sarra's numbers this year have just been off the scale when you actually look at them. They're better than what I originally thought. But if I'm being honest, Norwich, West Brom both got three games left. Norwich currently 6 points ahead of Hull. West Brom 7 points ahead of Hull. Norwich 8 points clear of Coventry. Obviously, Hull, Coventry, as you've mentioned there, play each other next Wednesday night. They've both got four games left in comparisons to West Brom's and Norwich's three. I still think Norwich will get over the line, being honest. I think Norwich will do enough. They've got Swansea at home this weekend. Their home form has been superb this calendar year. I think it's 13 home games were beaten. Bristol City at home this weekend, should I say. Swansea the following weekend. I knew they got Swansea somewhere. It's the following weekend, the 27th. So Norwich's home form been faultless for this calendar year. Back-to-back home games to come against two teams who have got nothing to play for. Though, of course, that means you can't underestimate them. Birmingham on the final day. It's a favourable run for Norwich. It's not overly difficult. It's not easy, but it's favourable. I think having two home games in there gives them a real lift. West Brom, they obviously, they've got a good chance of getting over the line now. This weekend, Leicester away, not easy, but they've got Sheffield Wednesday away. They'll fancy the chance of winning that one. Though, of course, Wednesday, we've just been talking about, they're going to be fired up for it more than ever before, possibly. Then Preston at home on the final day, another team with nothing to play for now. So I think West Brom, Norwich will get over the line. And I think Norwich's home form will be what carries them over there. And having two of their last three at home is a big, big benefactor. Middlesbrough, I just don't think it's possible now. I really, really don't think it's possible. Coventry and Hull have got a game in hand on them. Middlesbrough don't have a game in hand on anybody now. They're 8 points behind Norwich with 9 points to play for. I can't see Norwich and everybody else faltering that much for Middlesbrough to then win all three and get in. I just think it's too big an ask. So Hull, Coventry, outside chance at best, I think. I still think it's too tall an order. So for me, West Brom, Norwich over the line, but maybe we'll get a little bit of a squabble in the next couple of weeks over who gets fifth and who gets sixth, because Norwich seem to have snuck up on West Brom quite quickly. And I think for Norwich, they'll just be cursing themselves that they didn't get those extra 2 points at Sheffield Wednesday last week, having led 2-0. So they'll be satisfied with the week they had, though. 7 points from nine, obviously beating Ipswich, then winning at Preston, a playoff rival, probably ending their playoff hopes. And now they're in a position where they can look forward to two home games against teams they'll be confident of beating. So we shall see. But I think Norwich will get over the line. West Brom likewise. So Hull, Coventry may just fall short. But there's no doubt that game next Wednesday between those two is a big one. And the winner of that will certainly give themselves a sniff of a chance at the very least. So we'll see. But for me, I think West Brom, Norwich, whatever order they take, fifth and sixth.
And then just finally, I want to touch on Portsmouth, who are back in the Championship after 12 years away, having won the League One title in dramatic circumstances on Tuesday night. 2-1 down late on against Barnsley, but winning 3-2. And the scenes, not just at Fratton Park on the pitch and the celebrations, but also in O'Neill's bar, which has been left worse for wears, I think it's fair to say, by the multiple viral videos that have gone online. But Portsmouth deserved this, and they've really earned this promotion. They've had a lot of seasons in League One trying to get back up, and plumped for John Messina, which was obviously his first job in management coming out of Oxford United as a player, where he'd done his coaching badges and been part of their backroom staff as well in a player coach role, to give him that opportunity. And the way he's shaped them with fantastic recruitment in the summer, they've got Richard Hughes as their director of football, who was instrumental in leading Forest Green Rovers out of League Two when they had Rob Edwards in charge as well. And the way they've done it is based on a really high floor. I think from more close observers of League One, I think they would argue that Portsmouth at the best versus some of the other teams, perhaps they could give them a game in a neutral one-off game. But I think the consistency and the high floor of Portsmouth is what's really got them over the line. Obviously, they're going to bring the likes of Colby Bishop up with them. And Abdou Kamara has come on loan as well from Aston Villa, and he's been really impressive in their promotion. Paddy Lane, who's delivered a number of expletive interviews in the celebration since. But it's great to see Portsmouth back in the Championship. First time I've asked, in a ground I've not been to, so I'm looking forward to that next season, assuming Blackburn stay up. And I think they deserve their place back in the Championship, because that football club obviously was a staple in the Premier League as we were growing up in the 2000s. And obviously seeing the financial problems they had, which saw them plummet all the way down to League Two. They could be joined by Derby County this weekend, who are very much in the driving seat for second against Bolton Wanderers. They have a 3-point gap. There's only two match days left to play. So if Derby win and Bolton fail to match that result at the weekend, Derby will be back after a two-year absence under Paul Warne as well. So really interesting League One, but great to have Portsmouth back in the Championship.
Absolutely. And as I tweeted in the immediate aftermath of the full-time whistle on Tuesday night, I said that there's been a lot of clubs that have been through the ringer in recent years, but probably none more so than Portsmouth. Like you said there, when we were growing up, when we were kids, Portsmouth were a Premier League staple. You think back to when we were growing up, the days of Jermaine Defoe, Peter Crouch, Nico Cranchar, Harry Redknapp, the manager, Ben Jarney, if you remember him, they were the players that Portsmouth had. They were a Premier League side, similar to Wigan, Bolton as well, Blackburn. There were a lot of teams there that we knew as the Pete Barclay's era, who of course have fallen away. And Portsmouth, though, they've been through the ringer more than anybody. 12 years out of the Championship, 8 seasons in League One, 4 in League Two. And it is a football club with tremendous levels of support. And their supporters have deserved this moment purely because of the pain and the suffering that they've been through. There were moments where, like several other clubs have in recent years, and we've seen with the likes of Bury, were they going to have a football club still to go and watch? And everybody rallied round, and they did manage to save that club. And it's been a very, very long road back. There was a lot of questions at the time asked of whether John Mussino was the right appointment going for him. It was a very left-field choice. He'd never previously worked as a manager.
They'd had tried his first job. They'd obviously had Kenny Jackett. They'd had
Paul Cook for a while
as well.
Paul Cook for the years, yeah. Yeah, and now they went for John Mussino, like I say, first managerial position, and the boy's done all right, shall we say. He's not done bad at all. He's only 37, one of the youngest gaffers in the EFL, and what a job he's done. He's done a tremendous job, and to have won the title with 2 games left to play, they've only lost 4 times all season, and they've been in charge of they've been in charge of this league for a long time this season. They've led the way for so many months. And ultimately now, they've got the job done with a couple of games to spare. And what a dramatic way to do it against Barnsley the other night, which, of course, was never going to be an easy game. Barnsley eyeing promotion themselves via the playoffs. But like you said there, they're going to be a good addition to the Championship. And I think, being honest, and I've got to be truthful, I don't know the full ins and outs of Portsmouth's squad. I've not followed League One as closely as I have in previous years, purely because my club have not been playing in League One this year. But from the outside looking in, it looks like the squad's going to need a bit of work to get it up to Championship standard. But that can be said for a lot of clubs that are fresh out of League One. But you know, the one thing that Portsmouth have got is a committed, passionate fan base, and that can count for a lot. Fratton Park will be an intimidating place to go for a lot of teams next season. So it's great to have them back. At the moment in time, I think it's impossible to sort of say this is where they're going to finish. Who knows? We don't know what the squad's going to look like. But ultimately, I think for the Championship, they'd be a good addition to have. Really pleased for them because, like I said, their fans have had to put up with a lot of crap down the years. Let's be honest, they've been to hell and back with that football club, with the positions they've been in off the pitch. But they've had a tremendous season. They'll now be looking to finish it by getting to 100 points. That's still achievable if they win the last 2 games. So if they can crown it off with a centenary, that'd be really, really special. And as you've said there, Derby on the brink of joining them as well. And at the moment, the playoffs are shaping up to be quite interesting in League One as well, because Bolton, Peterborough, Barnsley, Oxford in there at the minute, Lincoln breathing down the next, Blackpool still in there. There's some clubs that we're familiar with in the Championship that have been missing for too long. Certainly in Bolton's case, another team that went down to League Two. Obviously, Peterborough a couple of seasons down League One, Barnsley likewise. And then you've got the likes of Oxford and Lincoln who are pushing to make the gap for the first time. So it's going to be an interesting end to the season, but Portsmouth, huge congratulations to them.
This is the Championship Chat Podcast, your home of news, views and debate from England's second tier.
Good club to have back in the division, a proper football club, true British history, and you know, one that I think a lot of mutual fans of other clubs have got a lot of respect for, purely because of the pain and suffering they've been through.
Play up, Pompey, indeed. And that marks the end of this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast feed wherever you get your pods from to ensure you'll never miss an episode. And follow us on Twitter at ChampChatPod24 as well. A huge thanks to our sponsors, Cards Accepted, for their support this season. If you're looking to take car payments with no contract or monthly fees, check them out at cardsaccepted.co.uk. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you again next week for another episode of the Championship Chat Podcast.